This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and we want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show, share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. We're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that, Ryan. It's been a long, long week.
It's finally Friday. I like to say Fry-yay.
Oh, because it's a Fry-yay. Hold on, wait a second. It's Fry-yay.
Fry-yay.
Fry-hey-hey. Fry-hey-hey-hey. Hey-hey-hey. It's finally Friday. Welcome to the Gripevine. Oh. I'm going right in, baby. Welcome to the Gripevine. I got a complaint against the entire male population of the world.
Oh, no. That includes both of us.
Why can't we multitask? Why can't we do? It seems like such a critical design flaw. Yeah. That women can do multiple things at one time. Ellie can talk to me on the phone, change a baby, watch TV, and make dinner. And like fully comprehend every single thing that's going on. Yeah. I can't walk and chew gum. I feel like I gotta stop, chew the gum, and then take another couple of steps.
Multitasking is a very practical ability. However, I would argue that goes to show how God has made male and female to be complementary, because women can see wide, which means they can handle multiple things at once. Men can see far.
So tell me how complementary this is when you try to work together with a woman. So our new sanctuary is like nearing completion, and we're getting an all new updated ClearCom system. Yep. For all of our operators, all of our technological operators to communicate with each other. And so we're running all the cables for it last night, right? Ellie's underneath the floor, like running the cable, and I'm feeding it down to her with fish tape. Okay. So while she's doing that, Adam and Dr. Shah are talking about the lights on the stage. They're getting all the lights right, and they're asking me questions. And so Ellie's underneath the stage being like, all right, can you feed that down a little bit more? And I'm like, yeah, here, I'm going to feed you this. And then Adam's like, John, do you think that's good on the white balance, or do I need to take some of the red out? And I'm going, okay, it's a little hot on the red because Dr. Shah's skin tone's a little on the warmer side. So take it down. And Ellie's like, John. And I'm like, what? What? She's like, feed me the cable. I'm like, I did. She's like, no, you didn't. And then I look, I'm like, oh, okay, I didn't. And so I start feeding it to her. She's like, okay, thank you. I'm going to take it over to the camera. I'm like, okay. So then I look back and I'm like, take a little bit of the red out of his skin. And put a little bit of blue, but not a whole lot. And so we do it. I'm like, I think that looks good. Let's angle this light. Done! I'm like, golly, what? She's like, you said you were going over to the camera and you didn't. And she's right. I hadn't moved. I was like, oh, my goodness. I couldn't. It was like so much input was coming in. Nothing got done well.
Yep.
Nothing got done well. And she's angry. And so I was like, why are you? Why? She's like, just do both. I'm like, but they're asking me questions and you're like telling me to feed you the cable. She's like, you got to do both. You got to do both. Now, was that complimentary? I ask you.
I didn't. Probably not a great application.
I didn't bring out the best in her.
No.
I definitely didn't bring out the best in me. Give me another one. We'll be on the phone.
Sure.
I think this has happened to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think this happened to every man who's married. We'll be on the phone and I'm ordering dinner, right? And she's like, hey, don't forget my side of sauce. Now, to us, who's just listening to one thing, that's no big deal. But I'm listening to a person on the phone talk to me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, huh? Yeah. She's like, don't forget the sauce. Don't forget my side of sauce. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna say it in a second. And she's like, all right, so the total's going to be 24. And she's like, don't forget my sauce. And I'm like, Ellie, stop. And then I'm scolding her. And I'm like, okay, yes, thank you. Hung up, forgot the sauce. You can't do it.
It's tough. It's something that I have had to kind of claw my way two with five kids,
uh-huh.
because there is at any given moment at least three sources of input on an average day.
Yeah.
I don't do it well. I've kind of learned how to do it, you know, on a survival level.
Can Elizabeth do it?
Yes, she can.
Wow.
She can. 100%.
I don't understand it.
She's much better at it than I am. I've learned to kind of like survive my way to do it.
Yeah.
They're just better at multitasking than we are.
There have got to be men who have figured out the secret. There's got to be men who have reconfigured their brain to be able to do multiple things at once and understand it. Like I can do multiple things. Like I can type on a computer and talk, but then I look and the computer's gibberish.
Yep.
It's gibberish. I've written down what I was saying.
Yeah. It's not a natural skill for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Men, write in. Are you
if
good
you
multitaskers?
Crack the code,
tell me.
Write in and let us know. Or ladies, write in and let us know and give us some tips on how we can be better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to be able to multitask, but sometimes I don't do it well.
Or maybe let us know if you've learned that the secret is just do one thing at a time. And then when you're done, I can focus on your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Notice I said or, because I want you to do one.
And
write
then,
in and let us know.
Of course.
Or visit us online. Don't do both at the same time.
That's right. That's right. Just pick one.
One or the other.
There you go.
We'll be back after this.
Hey, what's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm Ellie.
And we just want to take a second and let you know about Dr. Shah's new book on the market right now called Can We Recover the Original Text of the New Testament? Boy, that is a long title.
True, but it's a very simple message. The original text of the New Testament is not only attainable, but there are lots of different ways that scholars go about discovering it.
There's a lot of people out there saying that the original text is lost forever, or that it's hopeless to actually try to find it, or that there's many texts of the New Testament. But alongside Dr. David Allen Black, Dr. Shah has actually compiled papers from some of the world's leading experts in textual criticism, including one written by himself on various methodologies for extracting the original text. And listen, if you're interested in textual criticism, this book is a great introduction to the field.
You can pick up your copy on Amazon, or you can buy it from our church website. That's clearviewbc.org. We're going to leave a link in the description box so you can get your copy today.
Love that. Ellie, let's hop back in.
Let's do it.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, happy Friday, my friend. It is so good to see you
as well.
Happy Friday. Here.
Happy, happy Friday, because this is your special day. Happy Friday.
Why?
I'm trying to think. How's it go?
I feel like this is one of the ones where they bring out a cupcake at the restaurant.
Happy Friday. From all of us, we say, hey. Anyway, so Dr. Shah, multitasking. We talked about this a little bit in the intro. Can you do more than one thing at a time?
The only things I can do are like very insignificant things.
Okay.
Like I can brush my teeth and listen to a message.
Okay.
Or I can... like copy and paste a document while I'm watching Bonanza.
Okay.
I can do stuff like that.
But mm-hmm. but when it comes to like what women can do where they can like watch TV, talk on the phone, change a baby, make dinner at the, all at the same time and take all the input in. Can't do it.
No. Does it work?
I mean, now I can do some of those things. Again, I'm talking about significant things.
Right.
So if it's like, as I'm reading this, I'm also watching that. Mm-hmm. My mind naturally will focus in on one thing. Either it's going to be the TV or what I'm watching, or it's going to be what I'm reading.
Yeah.
It's not going to be both.
Yeah. So I was wondering, because we were talking about it earlier and we took a break, and I was wondering in the break, I was like, your brain, because you're multilingual. So your brain at any point is thinking in multiple languages, but do you pick a language and stick with that language, or is it all sort of together? Like when you think, and I've asked people this, I've asked your sister this, there are people who speak Spanish in our church. I've asked them this too, because I think it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
How, what language do you think in? And sometimes they say, well, I think in English, or I'll talk in Spanish, or I'll translate it. But how do you do it? Because you've got four languages.
English.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. When I get passionate about something, like I'm not just passionate as in like a doctor or something, but passionate as in like I'm upset, mm-hmm. like really upset, then it may revert to Hindi.
Like in your thoughts?
Like in my...
Oh, your language?
Maybe my thoughts, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then are you translating live on the spot? Is that difficult?
Wow.
Yeah.
It's difficult?
It is difficult. But it comes across choppy, but it's like I'm ticked right now.
Yeah. You don't understand. There's a whole translation process happening.
Well, that's what I was thinking about, because there are people who their brains, if you've got a different language in your brain, I find this fascinating. Your brain is real time processing a language into another. And so I wonder if that makes you better at multitasking. But
I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think about stuff like
that. I just know the important things I cannot multitask.
Mm. Can your wife?
I don't know about important things. She can multitask.
Yeah.
And I can do some things. Like I said, I can be talking to you while I'm stirring this coffee
right here. Right, right,
right. But if you ask me a question about the coffee, that's it. I'm going to be focusing on the coffee or the granules or what kind it is and which one is better, then I'm focusing on this.
Yeah.
So if one person has talked to you about ministry leadership and another person is talking to you about New Testament and textual criticism,
it'll be tough.
You can't do it.
It'll be tough.
I understand.
Now, if you just silly stuff, I can focus and go back on it. But important things?
Nah, it happens.
Doesn't work.
I'm that way too.
Doesn't work. Yeah, I gotta focus in.
Yeah.
Today's verse of the day is coming from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich.
Laziness just does not compute with the Christian life, Dr. Shaw. It's funny because I feel like, and maybe I'm out of line for saying this, but I feel like a lot of Christians are lazy. Mm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of lazy Christians. Mm. Hard work is something that's hard to find in the ministry. Have you found that in your life?
Oh, yeah. In the early years, I often would think, ministry is just like, you just chill, relax, walk around, shake people's hand, pat them on the back, get up and give a great sermon, good story, something cool I learned that week. You know, I'm thinking, I don't remember Dad working like that. I remember him working hard and working strong and traveling and all of that. And then I remember Nicole's dad, similar. So I'm like, why is it that some of the pastors I see don't do that?
Right.
Yeah.
Why is it so... One big thing they'll do that day, and that's it.
Yeah.
One visitation they have to make, or one meeting they have to attend. And if that's on the schedule, everything else is going to be
clear the schedule. I got a meeting at 11:30, so I'm booked. Yeah,
it's like, I know, but I just wanted to meet with you around like 5 p.m.
It'd be busy.
I got a meeting.
Check back in a month and a half.
And you know what's funny? I've actually had people say that. It's like, I'd like to meet with you in the evening. It's like, not here at Clearview, but other places I've been like, I'd like to meet and maybe have that conversation. It's like, I've got a meeting that day. I was like, oh, just the one? It's like, yeah, it's in a very important meeting. It's like, I know it's important, but it won't be all.
It's not like a 7-hour meeting.
So when it comes to things like that, I often... picture myself with people who are high achieving, not just far away, like big business people or famous personalities, but just people in the church mm-hmm. who are business owners mm-hmm. or who are law enforcement. And law enforcement, can I say, is like, I take one call a day.
Right. Yeah, true.
I've already responded to my call. Unfortunately, it did come in at 7:15 this morning. So you're
done for the day.
It's like, 911, what is your emergency? It's like, this is unfortunately my me time. Yeah. This is protected. This is another thing Christians do.
Protected.
This is my protected. I've just really got to protect this protect. Time.
What do those guys do? Calls come back to back to back. They go from one thing to the next thing. And yet we in ministry say, oh, that's it. I mm-hmm. mean, I have to have margins.
Yeah.
What about his margin?
Right.
or the business owner who's like going from one customer to the next to, oh, I got to put out this fire. Wait, these boxes didn't come in. Oh, my goodness. I got to go call them.
Yeah.
Oh, look, this person wants you to come check out something happened to their product. Can you go by and see them? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me go by and see them. 15 things in a day.
Oh yeah, I think there's at the heart of it, there's a disconnect that people, even people in ministry, think there's jobs in the ministry, mm-hmm. and then there's real jobs.
Right,
right.
Yes, yeah.
They don't call it real. They just
no, they won't call it that. But I think in their mind, they do see that disconnect where it's like law enforcement, you know, business owners. That's quote unquote real work,
right? Mm-hmm.
And so what I do is real, but it's also kind of lax, you know. It's kind of anyway. Speaking of lazy Christians, I found this video that I wanted to show
because
I thought this was really, really cool. And we typically react to things that we want to make fun of or we want to disagree with, but this is something I saw that kind of just touched
my
heart.
That's Adrian Rogers.
That's Adrian Rogers.
I know Adrian Rogers very well. I met him one time.
You met him?
Did you really?
Well, it was kind of like in passing. He was at one of the conventions. This was in, I want to say, 2003. And he wasn't as tall as maybe he was at one time.
Right.
And that was 2 years before he died. Mm-hmm. And he was at the convention. He had a white shirt on, black pants, and he was walking somewhere. Someone like, Adrian. and so he's
You trying, called to him or someone else?
No, somebody else. Okay. No, I would never call him that.
Yo, AD.
They're like, Adrian. So he turned around, and I guess one of his buddies were calling him. And he was about, I think I want to say, maybe 70, 71, 72 at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, great. I got to see him real life.
So did you meet him, talk to him, shake his hand?
I think I either shook his hand or went by a table where he was there. Mm-hmm. And did I get a book? I don't remember something. There was a very brief hello.
Right.
That's about it.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
But at least I got a chance to do that. I used to listen to him every morning back in 1995 as I was going to work. Mm-hmm. And he would come on right about maybe 6:30, something like that. Or I think it's in the evening. It's mm-hmm. in the evening, about 5:30 or so. Drive time.
You gave me a book one time, and I had been saved for a good long while when you gave me this book, but it was 10 Things Every Christian Ought to Know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember reading it being like, well, I know all these things.
Right.
But it's so funny when you read it, it's weird how God uses those fundamental principles to bring you back to himself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I saw this video. It kind of touched me. I wanted to talk about it a little bit.
Do you know why I love to come to church on Sunday morning? If people say, well, you don't have to go to church to love God. You don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Well, there's one thing wrong with that. It's just not so. Just not so. Now, obviously, there are people who are sick and cannot come. God knows their heart. But any man who willfully, deliberately stays away from the worship service, that man is most likely not a Christian. Now, he's not saved because he comes to church. Anybody who's saved is saved by the grace of God. But you listen to me, friend. If you have no desire to be with the saints down here, you have little hope of being with the saints up there. Do you know what you say when you come to church on Sunday morning? When you get up and other people out doing other things and you come here to worship in the assembly on Sunday morning, you're saying two things. By being in this building today, you're saying two things. You're saying, number one, God is important to me. And number two, these other people are important to me.
Wow.
Mm. By the way, two things. See the lighting?
Yeah. You want to go back?
Yeah, the lighting is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 19. I would say that right there is probably from the late 90s.
Wow. Look at all the. I thought that was. I was like,
that's. I thought it was a background at first.
I did too.
I started moving. I was like,
it's people.
Oh, there's people in the choir.
I thought the same thing. I was like, man. I was like, you know,
didn't they do a good job, though?
They did a great job. They had the fundamentals of the lighting down on that. Yep. And the camera operator was good. But I thought the exact same thing. I was like, that's a very contemporary background for someone like Adrian Rogers. Oh, that's people.
Yeah.
There's people back
That's
there.
That's Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
That's where he came in 1972 as a pastor. And he was there until 2005.
Yeah.
When he got cancer, I think in 2003 or 4. I think right after I saw him or about that time, he had colon cancer. Mm. And he started kind of sort of passing the baton on to Steve Gaines, who came as a – by the way, Steve Gaines just not declared, but he said that he's going to sort of retire.
Okay.
And he's passing it on. So kind of interesting you're watching that today.
Yeah, yeah. No, right? Wow. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
I love what he said, though, where any man who willfully, deliberately doesn't come to church, like stays away, actively stays away from church, most likely is not a Christian. I love that he makes that that caveat too. It's not that coming to church is what saves him.
Right.
But that attitude is evidence that God is not working and moving
in
his heart.
Yeah. Right. Because salvation is opening of the eyes. Mm-hmm. Salvation, of course, is forgiveness of sins, heaven everlasting, being made a child of God. But it's also opening of the eyes of who you are now. Mm-hmm. You are in Christ. Mm-hmm. You are part of the body of Christ. So you're saying, I don't need that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do my own thing. Ooh, I don't know. Are your eyes really open?
Right.
That's what he's saying. Are your eyes really open?
Yeah. And people throw that up all the time. Like, well, I don't have to come to church to be a Christian. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Well, no, of course it doesn't. But you should want to come to church as a Christian. It should be evidence of God working inside of you. Just like you said, John, if people perpetually stay away from church and they constantly throw that up, like, I don't have to come to church to be a Christian. Well, guess what? The Bible says otherwise.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible's pretty clear that we ought to come to church. We ought to assemble together. I mean, that's pretty evident throughout Scripture.
I mean, shoot, I don't have to go home to be married. You know,
but it's a good idea.
Yeah, but I ain't got to. Like, I'm still married. Look, if I go off and I just live in the house with a bunch of my buddies, or shoot, even if I live with another, I'm not going to touch it or nothing. I live with another woman. I'm not married. I mean, I'm still married. You know,
are you sure?
I don't have to be. Exactly. That's how ridiculous it is. Yeah, you don't have to come to church to be a Christian, but this is where the people of God assemble.
Right.
And I love what he says. There's a desire that comes into your heart. And if that desire is not there, that should be a red flag. That's problematic.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that we do at Clearview, and this is one of the things I really love, is that we make it an expectation among people who serve that you first and foremost, you sit under the preaching, you attend service before you serve, not like you do it in order. But what I'm saying is, a lot of times people will jump to serving as a way to, I don't know if they do it as a way to get out of listening to the preaching, or if they're like, I'm serving and I'm here and I'm working and I'm ready to work, and I just don't have time to go sit and listen to the preaching.
Maybe it's bad theology.
It could be.
Maybe they went to a church where they were not taught properly what it means to come and hear the word of God. Sometimes it's like the TikTok guy who was saying, is like, you know, the guy we were listening to one time, he was just running his mouth, you know, but then at the end of it, buy my Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if he would just do that and not sell any of your stuff, I would say, maybe you got something, but at the end of that, you're selling your stuff.
Yeah.
So how much credibility do you have?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know, all these preachers, the assembling together, you know, assemble, you know, he's making fun of everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what, how else do you read that, brother?
Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You interpret it another way for me.
Yeah. If you talk about exegesis, how else do you exegete that passage?
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's the thing. And a lot of these people will say that. And I think a lot of these people who say, you know, you don't have to come to church to be saved, they'll say that too. They're very quick to say what it's not. It's not saying this. What they're saying, it's saying, is not saying that.
And study, like, the book of Hebrews carefully. And can I take maybe a few seconds?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, the book of Hebrews, I think Paul wrote it, but if he didn't, that doesn't change the argument. It's still inspired. It's still the word of God, still inerrant. It was written by whoever, Paul or one of the apostles, to there's a second generation of Jewish background believers.
Mm-hmm.
Second generation of Jewish background believers who were slowly drifting back into the very religion that their parents had left behind. Okay, the parents got saved. They were Jewish background. They left their faith, you know, all the rituals, and they found that they were all pointing to Christ.
Right.
Their eyes are open. They follow Christ. No longer going back to the old priesthood, the sacrifices, the temple, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second generation that came about, who grew up there, they were sort of feeling left out. They were feeling, you said, where do you get all this information? Read between the lines, mm-hmm. right? Take the time to read what the author is emphasizing, and you will be able to create, mm-hmm. right? Mirror reading. You'll be able to create what the possible scenario was. And also taking into account church history, it begins to make sense because mm-hmm. this was what was happening. So first church, across the board, Jewish background believers. Mm-hmm. They left behind the temple, the sacrifices, all the rituals, the holy high days, the special days, all that. They left all that. Now they found that everything was pointing to Christ. Praise God, the fulfillment has come. Yes, we still honor the past, but we don't live there anymore. Mm-hmm. The second generation who grew up in Christian faith, who grew up in church, you can, it probably wasn't called church.
Right.
But same thing, same concept, ecclesia. They, after their parents died, they began to have this nostalgia. Nostalgia maybe from when they were little kids going mm-hmm. to the temple, mm-hmm. seeing the priests, seeing the Levites, getting the lamb slaughtered and the smell and the aroma of the lamb. Or they were, you know, going there and listening to the priest talk about their heritage mm-hmm. and the angels and Moses and all that. And they were sort of feeling drawn to that faith. Mm-hmm. It happens, by the way. First generation of immigrants, they're done with the past. Mm-hmm. Like me, mm-hmm. I'm a first generation immigrant to America. Mm-hmm. When I left my country behind, I left it behind because I know how awesome America is.
Mm, right.
Not that I hate India. Right now, India, by the way, is in a bad place mm-hmm. under secular, under this Hindu nationalist government. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole different issue. But I left that behind. I'm very proud to be an American. I love this country. Mm-hmm. But if my children are not careful, they will start feeling a nostalgia. They've been to India a few times for that country. Like, that's my heritage.
Right. Mm.
That's where I belong. Those are my people. I won't say that, but they will say that at times.
Mm. Right.
It's really weird because they want a sense of belonging. They want a sense of connectivity. Mm-hmm. And I've told them, it's like, no, move on. Mm-hmm. You build your life here. Appreciate your heritage, your culture. Build your life here.
Right.
So what happens is the second generation begins to long for that, and that's what was happening in the church, mm-hmm. the first church. Their parents had sort of died off, mm-hmm. and this generation was slowly lapsing back into—
like temple worship.
Temple mm-hmm. worship. And also, since the Gentiles were coming into the church body, mm-hmm. they were feeling sort of second class.
Mm. Even like, though they were the Jewish background believers. They were feeling like
second guy. The second generation Jewish background believers
were feeling outclassed by the Gentile believers.
Gentiles
who were
like, look at these guys that showed up. It's like, we should be the one in charge. I mean, whatever. You know what? Where we were in charge? Back in the
back
old temple.
In the temple.
That makes a lot of sense.
Everything that they're sitting around together, like, back in the temple.
Back in the temple.
It's like Kung Fu. Yeah. Have you ever seen that show, Kung Fu?
I never saw it, no.
Yeah, it's like back in the temple. Every few minutes, there's a flashback. So they were going back. That's why all those passages, those warning passages, if you go back after you have tasted, if you go back, mm-hmm. if you keep in mind this context, it all begins to make sense. He's telling them, if you go back to the old faith, it's emptiness. It's like going to a wedding without a bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
Judaism, right? Judaism is a wedding without a bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom.
Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, you're going to the party and there's nobody, is not there.
There's the guest of honor. Like, this is a great wedding. Where's the groom?
Yeah, he's not coming. Mm-hmm.
The groom is over there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's at another party downtown.
But the party is here. No, it's not.
You're at the wrong wedding, bud.
Right.
You show up at the wrong wedding. There's not even a bridegroom.
Well, by the way, I didn't come up with that. Jesus did.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's right. Yeah.
He came up with that. It's like, I'm here. And all those maids went out to get oil for the lamb.
To get oil and stuff.
And he was gone.
Yeah.
Missed chance.
Yeah.
Missed your window.
That's a great point.
So the whole point is this. He was telling them, don't forsake the assembly.
That's right.
Of yourself. That's the context. So how else can you take that? How do you apply that to 2024 Christians? Don't leave the assembling, whether it's a COVID or some other reason, don't walk away.
That's right.
Come back.
That's right. You know, there's something special, and it's nothing magic, but there's something special about the people of God coming together where God blesses those unions and those gatherings.
And that joker on TikTok is doing the very thing that the apostle was saying, don't do, which is don't find some nostalgia in this home house movement.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And guess what he's doing?
Exactly. You know what they were meeting? They were meeting in the house.
People's homes.
Right. And we're gone from that. We've gone away from that now.
Yeah.
So I'm going back to it.
Why do you think they romanticize it so much? Is it but just because there's not a pastor
buy
up there?
Buy my book.
There's not a or that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It all comes down to buy my book.
Buy my book, buy my Bible study, buy my 12-step program.
That slant of, now I've really cracked it. I've really uncovered the secret, or this is what it used to be. Let me teach you. People have been enamored by that kind of mentality for years.
Yeah.
Same. Like that uncovering that hidden secret knowledge. Let me teach you. Let me train you on what really things ought to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. Yeah. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Like we said today, find a church, put yourself in that church, in the building, and worship with God's people. Make sure you join us bright and early Monday. Lots of great content coming your way. We love you guys. We'll see you Monday on Clearview Today.
That was Thursday's run.
Get out.
I'm just joking.
Leave it in there.